This message was originally given at Covenant Baptist Church in Valdosta, Georgia.
Well, we're going to do something different, and I'm going to have everybody stand up as I read the scripture from Jude tonight. We're going to be in Jude verses 20 and 21, if you want to follow alongside me. Jude is a very small book right beside Revelation, right before Revelation at the very end of the Bible. I'll go ahead and read. I'm going to be reading out of the CSB version, but it's real similar to the ESV. It says, "But you, dear friends, as you build yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting expectantly for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ for eternal life." You may be seated. And so when Josh asked me to preach, and he gave me a few verses to look at, the second that I looked at these two verses here in Jude, what came to my mind was this book that so many of us in the church have been reading lately, and is titled Watchfulness. You may have been hearing that word a lot lately. And words like waiting expectantly that I read, and keeping, and praying, building up, or synonyms of these words like being on guard, alert, attentive, or remaining in, they start to scream off the pages as I read the Bible now, and or even supporting verses of this passage of Scripture in Jude. And I've never seen someone so excited in my life about a book until I saw our brother Larry North here describing this book for the first time to me, Watchfulness. And he loves this book so much, he's like a kid in a toy store as he starts to describe this book with a bright smile on his face every time. And he's got so much words underlined and highlighted on it. It's like the book is rattered and tattered with the pages rolled up at this point. But that's how our Bibles should look like, isn't it? Full of highlighted words and phrases and notes, pencil marks in it, because we've dissected and paid attention to every word and heeded every page. And thank you, Brother Larry, for that joy and passion you had to teach and disciple young men, our church. And I pray that we all tonight can grow in our passion to disciple others and go through the Bible together with them. And that's my goal tonight, is to not only pay close attention to every word that Jude is trying to teach us here, but it's also to encourage y'all and to plead and to help increase our love together for our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so if we look in the text here, verse 21, even though it's the second verse, the phrase to keep yourselves in the love of God, that keeping is the main verbal phrase in the text tonight. And so my question is for us all, if you're taking notes, you can write this down. It says, my question is, how do we keep ourselves in the love of God? And so there's three main supporting points to this sermon, and they're followed in the text. The first point is building yourselves up in your most holy faith. Point number two is praying in the Holy Spirit. And point number three is waiting expectantly for the life to come. So before diving into these three main points, I want us to briefly pay attention to the audience of who Jude is speaking to here. And if you were to flip just one page over and look at the very first verse in Jude, he says who the letter is to. It's to those who are called, loved by God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ. And so Covenant Baptist Church, you are called, loved by God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ. Jude's writing to us here. And this word kept for Jesus Christ, is the same root as our primary point tonight, keeping ourselves in the love of God. And so this word to keep or kept, it's a protective and preservative word. It reveals clearly one of the doctrines we believe, perseverance of the saints, that if you're genuinely saved, God will keep you to the end and until eternity or when Christ returns. And so I'd like us to ponder and contemplate this question, are we keeping our souls? Are we tending to our souls, helping our souls, helping each other remain in God and stay obedient, sanctifying our hearts daily, trimming off our impurities and pursuing God? So this keeping language is a maintaining, a remaining in. It's a preparing, renewing, refreshing, cleansing even. Are we doing these things to our souls? Maintaining, refreshing, renewing our minds, like Romans 12:2 says. And so have these keep words on the forefront of your mind as we read this passage tonight. So let's go ahead and dive into the first verse, verse 20. But you, dear friends, or as the ESV says, but you, beloved, as you build yourselves up in your most holy faith. That's our first point, building yourselves up in your most holy faith. I think it's interesting how Jude doesn't simply say to build yourself up in the faith. He says in the most holy faith. And true faith results in holiness over time. 1 Peter 1:15 says, but just as you who are called ought to be holy, or it says, but as the one who called you is holy, you are also to be holy in all your conduct. And the definition of holiness is to be set apart. So when Jude is saying that our faith is set apart from other faiths, that's what Jude is saying. And not only is he saying that our faith is set apart from other faiths, but it is the most set apart. And I've had people try to tell me before that my faith is different from your faith, whether it's non-Christians or other people, or they'll say, well, you can believe what you want to believe, and your truth can be your truth, but my truth can be mine. And that's just absolutely false. It's like Alexander Hamilton said, he said, if you don't believe in something, you'll fall for anything. But the author of Hebrews says, faith is the reality of what is hoped for and the proof of what is not seen. And faith is a real thing. And the truth is that God, the one and only God, the creator of the universe, sent his son, Jesus, to this earth in flesh and bone to walk and live the most perfect life, the only man to walk on this earth without spot or blemish and without sin. And God allowed his one and only son to suffer. And having a one and only son, being a father now, this really hits me, that the way that God allowed Jesus to be beaten and to die the most brutal death. Because in God's perfect justice and God's righteousness, the sin and rebellion against God, it had to be accounted for the entire world. And everyone's sin deserves punishment. And so instead of God sending his wrath down on all of humanity, like Sodom and Gomorrah, because of our sin, he poured out his wrath on his son. And that's the good news, because of the death that Jesus died. If we repent and believe in him, he will be quick to forgive us of our sins. And so, church, I plead with you tonight, whether you're a Christian for 6 months or you've been a Christian for 30 years, or maybe you've never truly, wholeheartedly trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I beg to repent and to declare your trust in him daily. It must be a daily surrender, a daily habit of repentance that we have, redeclaring that Jesus, you are the Lord of my life, not simply my Savior. It's like in Luke, it says that Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, yet do not do what I say? And so many people want Jesus to be their Savior, but not their Lord. And Jesus is that firm foundation, that cornerstone that we're building our lives upon. That's what this text is saying, as you build yourself up in the most holy faith. Colossians 2, 6 and 7 says, so then, as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, being rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, and overflowing with gratitude. And so that's what building each other up in our most holy faith is it's encouraging one another and reminding each other of this beautiful gospel. And that's how we keep ourselves in the love of God, is by building ourselves up in the most holy faith. So the point number two, moving on, is praying in the Holy Spirit. Have you ever thought about how many people in the world pray, but so many of their prayers are void of the Holy Spirit? And so that's what Jude's call is to have our prayers filled with the Holy Spirit. Our prayers that are maybe selfish or inwardly focused on ourselves oftentimes can be void of the Holy Spirit. And it's so important that we pray without ceasing, like Colson said, praying in all areas of our life, little prayers throughout the day. And why do we need to always be in a constant state of prayers? Because we always need God. We need God for every breath in our lungs. And our lives would be meaningless and without value and purposeless without Him. But with God and with the Holy Spirit and with Jesus living in our lives have a new purpose, a new meaning, and an entirely new value because of Him. And praising God in our prayers and adoring Him for who He is, that's what welcomes the Holy Spirit into our prayers. And I've been so encouraged over the last few months by our men's small group that meets on Tuesday mornings at 6 a.m. as we pray in the Holy Spirit together. And I pray that as a church, we will be a praying church. Corporately, like we've been doing tonight, but also privately and individually and communally as we pray in our small groups too. And may every ministry in our church, whether it's children's ministry, youth, international missions, local missions, worship, may every area of our church, may we be a church that prays in the Holy Spirit. And so now to my third point. Another way that we keep ourselves in the love of God is by waiting expectantly for the life to come. Verse 21, halfway through, says to keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting expectantly for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ for eternal life. And waiting expectantly and hope go hand in hand. When you are hopeful for something, you're more likely to patiently and confidently wait for what you are hoping for. It makes you think about deer season. When you're expectant to see a deer, you're more likely not to fall asleep in the deer stand. But that's what watchfulness is to stay awake and alert and attentive. And that's how we're supposed to wait expectantly for Christ's second coming. I'll read the verse one more time. It says, waiting expectantly for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ and for eternal life. Christ is coming back. We're already in the last days, and it says that He'll come like a thief in the night. Or as Matthew 25 says, be alert because you don't know the day or hour that He will come. I love how Peter writes about the last days, and 1 Peter 1:13 says, therefore, with your minds ready for action, be sober-minded and set your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Then in the next book over, 2 Peter 3, it says in verses 11 and 12, says, it is clear the sort of people that you ought to be in holy conduct and godliness as you wait for the day of the Lord and hasten its coming. And verse 14 says, therefore, while you wait on these things, make every effort to be found without spot or blemish in His sight. So another question I would like us to ponder as we're thinking about waiting expectantly for the Lord in eternity is, do we love this present life a little bit too much at times? 1 John warns us to not love the world or the things of the world, and how the world with its lust are passing away, but the one who does the will of God remains forever. And the world is going to try to always distract us from waiting expectantly for eternity. And so in conclusion, as we wrap up this last point of how we keep ourselves in the love of God by waiting expectantly for the life to come, we must live with an eternal mindset. And so I'll give you a second here to turn, but this is a verse worth memorizing. It's in Colossians. The first and second verse of Colossians 3 is all about what it means to have an eternal mindset, setting our minds on the things above. Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. It says, "So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." A wise man told me one time to always begin with the end in mind. And that's how our lives should be. Every day that we wake up, we should think about eternity and live like there's no tomorrow and make the most of the days we have. I love what David says in Psalms 90, "To teach us to number our days, O Lord, so that we may develop wisdom in our hearts." Waiting expectantly for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life, that is how we keep ourselves in the love of God.
Thank you for listening to this message from Covenant Baptist Church in Valdosta, Georgia. For more from our elders and teachers, please visit us at covenantbapt.org. That's covenant, BAPT.org. For teachings, articles, and more information about our community.